The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that the one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As I mentioned, it's been a couple weeks. I've been out and about, so hopefully I'll key in a few stories for today's homily from my travels. But I wanted to focus on the Eucharist. That's the, as you know, we're in the midst of the Eucharistic revival in the church in the U.S. And they've declared, the bishops the last 2 years, focus on that. And then we just had the Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis, where I attended. And then they've charged us for the next year until June of 2025 to be focusing on the Eucharist and going out, right? Going out. So I wanted to focus on the Eucharist and the requirement of faith to help us there. First reading is the Book of Kings, is Elijah. And Elijah's kind of fed up with his following of God. It says, "This is enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my father's." He's like, fed up. "God, let's just end it here." You could say, well, what's going on in Elijah that brought him to a point of despair like that? Well, the fact is he's been on a roller coaster, really, because he's one of the only prophets left. All the other prophets who believe as kind of a mixed false religion that they kind of set up on their own, the new kings decided to kind of not follow the faith of the Jews and set up their own kind of more rational religion. He's the only one standing that's defending God. And you'll remember the story where he calls down fire and the 400 prophets of Baal put water on their sacrifice. It doesn't let up. He calls down God to come and consume the sacrifice, which he does. And then he is victorious over his enemies in that occasion. But then the queen who set up this religion is upset with him and starts to persecute him, chases him into the desert. So now he's on the run. And basically the whole armies of the queen are looking for him to put him to death. So he's holed up in a cave. And he's like, this is too much, right? These ups and downs. God blesses him, give him a victory, give him amazing. And then nonetheless, they still want to destroy him. And he comes to the kind of this moment of despair and falls asleep. And then there's, as he wakes up, he sees this bread that's placed in his head and some water that the angel of the Lord placed there to say, eat, drink. You know, it's going to be a tough journey. You've got to get to the mountain of Horeb where God said, hey, go to the mountain. I'll meet you there and I'll reveal your next mission to you. So the symbol of the bread and the water that kind of accompany Elijah in his ups and downs and give him strength and not despair to believe against all odds, even when all those around you don't believe. And in fact, not only don't believe, but they're after you. They're against you. They're trying to destroy you even more than cancel you, kill you. And he perseveres in his faith and his belief in God thanks to this bread that comes down from heaven and sustains him. Then we get to the gospel. And Jesus is in a similar situation. The Jews, it says, murmured about Jesus. Murmur, that's a key word in the New Testament because it was a word used about the Israelites in the desert when they murmur against God. God leads them into the desert. They're complaining. Another translation is whining. No one likes a whiner, right? Whining is like complaining, but that doesn't stop. It's really aggravating, you know? You've had your kids when they whine, or sometimes we whine. It's like, hey, you just can't. They won't listen to reason. They're just emotionally upset, and it doesn't matter. They just want to complain no matter what, right? Do all your best to try to help them with this. The Jews are a bit in this, and they're whining, complaining, murmuring against Jesus because he's saying, I'm the bread come down from heaven. And they know the story of Elijah. They know examples of the Old Testament. The bread that fell down in the desert to sustain the people of God in the hoarfrost. There's many examples in the Old Testament when God sent bread to sustain the people. And Jesus saying, I'm the bread come down from heaven to sustain you. And for me, this bread is my flesh, which you must consume and eat for the life of the world. And they're like, whoa, complain, wait a second. We know your parents. How could you say you come down from heaven? They're like nitpicking what he says and not getting the message. They're lacking faith. And Jesus insists in the middle of the gospel, he's explaining now, if you're going to come to me and understand my words, the Father needs to give you understanding. You need to open yourself to understand and believe what the Father is revealing here. That don't get in this negative, whiny state where you're picking at everything I say just to create an issue. Like, get above that. Reflect, what's God trying to say here? Enter into a vision of faith. To understand. It's the invitation to rise above the challenge of the moment and maybe how you're feeling and say, okay, step back. What's God doing here? What's God teaching me here? So many times when we're whining, that's what we need. You know? And it's not very popular physical discipline anymore, right? But when I was studying philosophy, one of the arguments in favor of parents using physical discipline on their children, God forbid, I'm not necessarily espousing it, but this is what they thought back in the Greek times, is kids get overwhelmed by their emotions, and you need to give them a little stimulus to get their another emotion, like sadness or pain, and that shocks them, like, whoa, wait a second, what am I doing, right? I don't know if that's, but that's what they thought back then. But in a sense, Jesus is trying to shock them and say, wait a second, step out of this. See this from faith, understand and believe. That's what Jesus, your senses aren't helping you. You see that I come from my parents, and yes, but I come from God, and I'm revealing something from God. And what is he revealing? His flesh, his life for the world. I'm that bread that's going to sustain you. That when you eat me, receive me, you come and receive my life, my strength, and it will sustain you in the journey of life and bring you to eternal life. And he ends, whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world, pointing to his death, but also pointing to the Eucharist. That's what sustains us on our journey. One of the things I attended was this Eucharistic Congress. I was really impressed by the opposite of the spirit of murmuring. There were 50 to 60,000 people there in Indianapolis at the Lucas Oil Stadium where the Colts play. And they had the stadium rented out and the convention center across the street. They had the cathedral, which is right across the street from the convention center, where they had the Blessed Sacrament in adoration. And there were 50,000, 55, 60,000 Catholics there, just anything but murmuring, joyful, exuberant, happy to be there. In fact, when I showed up on Wednesday afternoon to sign in, the sign-in line wrapped all the way around the stadium, all the way around the convention center, all the way around. Like, these poor people have to wait in line for like 3 or 4 hours just to get into the event. There was sometimes where it pays to be a priest, there was a door for clergy. That was not nearly as long, so I got in that line and got signed up. But it was powerful to see the joy, the enthusiasm, the young people, the religious, the priests, the nuns, families, just joyfully meeting around the Eucharist in faith, in love, and trust of what the Father had revealed, finding in that their source of joy when outside of themselves, maybe challenging situations that the world presents. No murmuring, just faith and trust in God. And I want to end briefly with the psalm, that taste and see the goodness of the Lord. It's the invitation to focus again, what Jesus is trying to get them to focus on the Lord. Glorify the Lord with me. It's an invitation. Hey, everybody, praise God with me. I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me. Elijah could say the same. You know, I was despairing. I was ready to die. And God gave me strength, gave me the bread. brought me to his mountain, revealed himself to me, gave me a new mission, right? He says, goes on, look to him that you may be radiant with joy. Those who look to the Lord and have faith and listen, they're joyful. When your faces aren't going to be blushing with shame, embarrassed about what you said or done, and kind of, I don't want to admit or go out in public because I kind of know there's no shame for the one who believes in the Lord and lives according to him. They're joyful, not afflicted, right? When they are, they call out to the Lord. He answers them. He carries them through their distress and saves them. And I love this. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Those who follow the Lord. Angels defending them, protecting them, leading them, guiding them, inspiring them, strengthening them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Take refuge in him. So let's pray in this Mass as we gather around the table of the Lord, as we make our act of faith in his presence in the Eucharist, as we taste and see, we receive him. Let's pray for that grace for each one of us. All of us, I'm sure, need graces. We're all in our own battles. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for our faith, our trust, our listening to the Father, listening to Jesus and believing in him, to have strength to continue on our own journey for this next week in order to follow him and to share his joy with the world.